Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
Welcome to Pediatric Insights. Today's discussion will include Dr. Danielle LaRocarina, John Hayes, Craig Hillemeyer, Wesley Milliken, Arnie Strauss, Bruce Rubin, and I am Bruder Stapleton, Chair of the Council for Child Health Advisory Council for a Career Physician. Today's discussion is about how a candidate who is a finalist, often in a short list for a position, should prepare for that position. There's quite a bit of literature in the business world about this topic, but not a lot in the academic milieu. People often don't take advantage of some of the suggested advisement for people who are looking for a finalist in the business or administrative position. Often the finalist is chosen after a series of previous screening and then a previous visit. And so typical for a search for a chair today would include virtual interviews for a large panel of positions by the search committee. And then a small, but maybe 4 to 7 people might be invited to an institution to get to know the institution, learn a little more about the culture, interview with people to get feedback from a larger group. And from that group, a finalist group of 2 to 3 people are often then chosen to come back and, having seen the institution, be expected to have some thoughts about what they might do if they were to become a final appointment for that position. But in all instances, candidates will be coming in who are being considered for the finalist to meet and present their ideas. In thinking of this and how one begins to prepare themselves for that very important final visit, when you're expected to understand the institution and have more than just your leadership skills and personality, but how you might perform in that position. How do you prepare to present yourself in that situation? And so, Bruce, do you have any thoughts on that?
The first visit or first interview or the second set of interviews are really to define fit. And that fit goes both ways. Am I going to be a fit for this position based on what the institution thinks and based on what you need? Very often, the initial screening interview with a larger group is all about the institution and it's very structured. The subsequent interview is really an opportunity to explore more deeply whether this really would be the position that suits you and whether you can do well with that position. Once you get to the final stage that we're discussing, that's when you really start to nail down some of the things that need to be clarified. You need to understand things like, how is my time going to be distributed? What are the immediate goals? What will make me successful in this position? What other information do you need from me? If there are people that you have spoken with during the first or second visit that you really need more time with, that would be the time in advance to let people know. If there are people that you haven't spoken with, but people say these would be a person that you need to collaborate with, this is the time. And critically important, this would also be the time to bring up any of your personal needs, such as your partner or your partner's position, because it will be a time of them looking at the position as well, and any other things that are important to you, whether it is a religious affiliation, whether it's other groups. All of this you bring to the table before you come so that they're best prepared to help you understand whether the position and the city and the institution is going to be right for you and for your partner.
Thank you, Bruce. Wesley, you got lots of experience in this arena. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think to follow up on Bruce's comments, we're more of a candidate-leaning group, and I would always advise a candidate to approach any of these processes as a learning experience, where you may need to develop further learning how these processes work, because confidence comes from that. And we see it every day. I mean, the more confident a candidate is, the more they understand the process, the better the perception with the committee. But for a finalist visit, it really starts with the first on-site interview. Did the candidate really do their due diligence, meeting with everybody, understanding the needs of the organization, understanding the needs of the divisions or the department as it might be, because the finalist visit typically is going to require a vision presentation to the executive group, to faculty, and you'll have to use what you learned in that first on-site visit. So, I mean, as a candidate, you should really be thinking about, if I am a finalist, I'm going to be asked to do this vision and resource kind of presentation. And ultimately, what do I need to get on my previous visit, but also what do I need to get from the organization as it relates to data and documentation? And there's some learning in that as far as just the anxiety around asking for financial statements and other things that some people maybe not want to ask for. I think those are important parts of it. Before you even start one of these searches, Bruder, I think it's incredibly important as a candidate that you build your support network, because when you get down to preparing for a finalist visit, as we're talking about today, you really need mentors and you need people who clearly understand all aspects of these roles to advise you on your vision presentation and your resource plan and all of those aspects that are going to allow you to appear and to be a savvy, solid candidate. And so I think having mentors and people that are already in this role, like our advisors, for example, I mean, I think those are key parts. You know, as we think about preparing for that finalist visit.
Conceptually, if there are three visits and you have the virtual online screening, the first on-site visit, and the third finalist visit, there are different purposes, obviously, to really think about. The online visit is usually an opportunity for the search committee to understand you as a leader, how you approach leadership and what your past experiences are, and it's all about you. The on-site visit is an opportunity, an important opportunity for you, the candidate, to really understand the institution. And it's about you informing yourself and learning as much as you can. And then the final visit is a mutual evaluation. It seemed to me often really important to kind of glean what the person gained and how insightful they were about the position, and bringing those first interviews into the final discussion to show how they problem solved. And it's a bi-directional evaluation. So maybe we could hear some of the thoughts of the group about how the institution looks at the candidate and what they hope to get from the candidates during that final visit that's going to help them make the decision who the best of the two or three finalists might be. Arnie, do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. So I would just emphasize what you said, that that finalist visit is going to be crucial for presenting the candidate's vision for that institution. And as you said, the institution will judge whether that perception or that plan is actually appropriate. And that's a clue to the candidate's ability to assess a situation, which is really crucial to the decision about who should be a finalist. So that evaluation on the vision is essential. You should be prepared as a finalist to present priorities. What have you decided is crucial for the early and then long-term steps at the institution for it to be successful. So what are the priorities? The discussion about resources frequently will take place at the finalist visit, but I think applicants need to be very careful during that period of time not to either overstate or over-ask for resources so as not to alienate the search committee. And then finally, I think candidates should definitely be prepared to be asked a question about how they make decisions and how, or give an example of how they made a decision previously, or give an example of how they were successful previously that emphasizes their ability to make decisions and to move forward.
Thank you, Arnie. Danielle, what are your thoughts on what you look for as a leader in making that final selection based on that visit?
So first of all, thanks for summarizing that. The purpose of the three visits. So we're at the final visit where it is bi-directional evaluation. So even though you asked us to consider what the institution, I think that is a dancing game of actually understanding that bi-directional sort of conversation. So several thoughts. And this may be not be a thought that you share, but I think at that final visit, there is an assessment of the power dynamics. So what do I mean by that? I think that we know that current institutions are complicated. They have an administrative leadership structure and they have an academic structure, and how those two meld is important. And whatever your role, obviously, if you're at the faculty level, it's at a different role, but it's still important to know. At a division chief level, it becomes more important to understand structure. At the chair's level, it's crucial to understand structure. I'll give you an example. If at a children's hospital, you know that there are surgical specialties and there are the medical specialties, it's really important to understand the relationship of that, because children are cared for in a unified fashion, and that the environment to really do the best clinical work, academic work, and educational and the educational mission requires collaboration across the administrative role and the academic. So understanding that structure is important. So I would be very specific in one, the institution being clear about those structures, and as the candidate, understanding that structure so that you don't jump into tensions without understanding what the presumptions are. I think that's really important. So is there a chief of pediatric surgery? Does that report to surgery? Does that report to pediatrics? Seems basic, but it needs to be sort of fleshed out. I fully agree with Arnie in that understanding priorities, and I would probably, as the candidate, prepare for a strategic plan and prepare for the priorities, but also prepare for what the challenges, the immediate challenges are to that institution and how you plan to constructively tackle those immediate challenges. And they may vary depending on the institution. And then understand sort of processes. Let's say there's a question in that final candidate. Maybe they're wondering whether you're up to the task, even though they love you, but they want to test you out. Challenge yourself in preparing for the areas of weakness and the coaching pieces, and maybe saying, you know, my strengths are here, there, interpersonal, academic, whatever. What I'd like to do is to set up the structure for me to succeed. Therefore, I would like to see that we engage a coach or whatever it is you're thinking about, because there's no position you're going to go to without both strengths and challenges. And how do you meet those head on, honestly? And I agree with Arnie, I would always be collaborative, because these positions, if you're not collaborative, it's going to be tough. So how do you collaborate? Decision-making process that Arnie pointed out, I think that's important to kind of be specific. And oftentimes you get asked, how did you handle a tough problem? That's a standard question. Well, I think it's an opportunity to think through for both the institution that, because different cultures operate differently in how they view this. And it's a testing ground for how are you going to collaborate and your leadership style. And the resource plan goes without saying. It's the resources not only for you personally, et cetera, your personal things, but the resources to succeed and what's realistic and what is a collaborative effort and who is going to be your network of support within that institution, which you may not fully know at the time that you're doing that final interview. And then there are things that are after you get offered, which you didn't pose as a question, but after you get offered this, there are other negotiations that need to happen.
Thank you. Craig, I'm going to put you on the spot as a, as a former dean. The finalists are three candidates, and you've had a chance to interview all the three. What are the key things for a chair that lead you to pick the top candidate?
I think that it's really important at the final visit to be realistic in your assessment of the situation. which requires that, first of all, you don't avoid bringing up challenges that the physician is going to have, because that's what they want to hear at this time. They want to hear that you understand that, well, you know, we have a real issue here with the surgeons working with the Department of Cardiology or whatever it is. And you don't have to have specific solutions at this point. You should be prepared to talk about the decision process that you're going to go through in solving that, or, you know, making it a workable, having a workable solution. But it, don't focus on the actual solution as much as the process by which you're going to come about, and to talk about a couple of the three challenges that you might have. I think that's really important. Another thing that I received good advice, I think, early in my career that was also very helpful for me, is to find a quiet place, sit down, and look at your CV. You put together the CV, but they're going to look at the CV, so you need to look at your CV too. And think about the requirements of this job and how your CV fits those requirements. What are the strengths that you have? Because you're going to need to be able to recognize your strengths. And what are the weaknesses that you might have in your CV for that position, and maybe some ways on how your leadership style is going to allow you to complement some of your weaknesses by bringing in some strengths. I think Danielle mentioned the possibility of a coach. Lots of other ways that you can go about trying to understand those are things, no one's perfect in everything, what you're going to have difficulty with, and how you're going to meet that problem. And so it's really that mature perspective on what a real leader needs to have that you're looking for in that final interview. Does this person have those skills to make that really work?
Peggy, what advice do you have for candidates that as they approach this final visit to best present themselves as the top candidate?
I divide it into two categories, both professional and personal. On the professional side, I think it's very important that you understand the mission, the vision, the values, and the strategic plan for both organizations, and really get into the dynamics of how those two organizations work together or don't work together. I'd really want to know the bottom line on the relationship between the CEO and the dean of the college or the medical school, and how you're going to fit in, negotiate those relationships, because there's a bifurcation sometimes in where both organizations want to head. And both as the chair of pediatrics, but also importantly, the chief of pediatrics is really a role that has to be well-defined. So what the expectations are for the pediatrician in chief, what they are for the chair, and how you're going to be able to orchestrate. I think it's very important to understand what resources you're going to have at the end of the day, particularly in the hospital side, to allow you to get the job done, because obviously, there's a number of resources within that organization that can commit to the chair. I'd want to know how they are able to be arrayed in support. I definitely would negotiate for a coach. I think anybody going into an executive position really does, for the first year or two, need just one outside person that can help them with a, oh my gosh, I can't believe, how do I handle this? To help you mature, that executive coaching can be invaluable. I think on the personal side, this is the time of no surprises. As you're looking at whatever your current personal situation happens to be, whether it's your significant other, it's your kids, importantly, make sure that you've at least explored all those opportunities. I can name a number of priorities that candidates have had in these very important positions that many times myself, my board of directors have had to go to work on them to get the children in the school they want to go to, on the soccer team they want to be on, et cetera, because that no surprise element, I think, really helps that new individual jump into that role with both feet and not have the distractions that can occur. You know, one thing I'll mention, Wesley taught me this very early on in our time together recruiting positions is, you know, get to know the spouse right on the front end. Don't wait till the final visit or the significant other, the person that's going to be your partner, because I think that their understanding of what the job is, who you are as an individual in a supervisory role with that individual, is going to be really important to help them understand the importance of the aspects of the position so they can support their significant other in attaining that role. So again, I think it's very important you do your homework. You really understand what the expectations, priorities are, what they expect of you in the first 1, 2, or 3 years going out even as far as 5 years, which will be a little less determined, but very important to make sure that, back to the idea of looking at your resume, be sure that you can successfully accomplish what's set out for you in that role.
Thanks, Peggy. John, you, as another CEO, and you've picked chairs before, what guided your decision?
The one last piece that comes to mind for me in candidates for leadership roles is to just be yourself. You know, part of what's being evaluated is you as a leader and an individual. And so we're going to take it, we're going to assume that you've absorbed all the information about the opportunity, that you're conveying good thoughts and ideas of how you would lead in that role. But at this point, we're thinking too about style, personality. How is this individual going to mesh well with the group that they are there to lead? How are they going to interact with other leaders in the organization? And how are they going to sort of fit into that culture? And so I think that's part of what you have to evaluate. Is this the right organizational culture for me? You know, how do I mesh or meld within that group as well? And so that's one of the more intangible pieces. Peggy brought up great points about the personal aspect. I think that can't be overstated, that get those hurdles out on the table early and let's figure out what it's going to take for you to really engage in this professional opportunity. But, you know, thinking about style and what's going to make this person a really great leader in the organization.
One thing that when I especially was considering a division chief candidate as an appointment that was important to me, I would ask the candidate if they had talked to their chair, if this was a final interview, because I knew that if I appointed that person, they would have the same kind of communication relationship with me. It was important to me that someone who had reached the final stages of looking for a job after having explored it would have shared that with their chair. And that made a statement to me if someone it was looking at a finalist job, I mean, which is means that they've been very serious about this move and how they've considered the impact for their own group if they were to leave. These have been great comments. So the finalist visit is a stressful visit. It's one that both the institution and the candidate are really making an important life decision, life in the career of the individual and life in the history of the institution, because chairs particularly have a huge impact on the future of the organization, and division heads have a very important influence on the success of a department. And thoughts that were raised today and perspectives gained over a lot of years of experience was that individuals should come prepared. They should through that first initial visit to the campus come away with an understanding of both the vision of the institution and the challenges that they would need to address, and be able to articulate some recognition of those aspects, that they should be looking at both their professional goals and their personal goals as they look for potential move to, if it's a move up within the organization or a move from another institution. And I think we didn't mention it, but probably an internal candidate needs to really consider the exact same preparatory issues that the external candidates do. These were really very good and very good advice. And the final one of be yourself. This is such an important decision, both for the institution and you, that you want this to be a good match and one that would be fulfilling both personally and professionally. So I want to thank the participants today and encourage those that are listening in to consider looking at other insight conversations that are available on the Career Physician website. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic, pediatrics, and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30-plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com.